climate change in the crosshairs.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. As the Canadian government crumbles, that nation is playing host to an important international gathering today. 10,000 delegates from around the world have convened with one item on the agenda, climate change. It's one of the largest international conferences ever, and the aim is to develop a long-term plan for cutting greenhouse gases. Steve McNally reports that the U.S. government is expected to pit itself against much of the rest of the world.
The Montreal conference was called to deal with what comes after Kyoto when it expires in 2012. Many think the model can be made more palatable, drawing in up-and-coming polluters like India. But the U.S., the world's largest polluter, says CO2 can be reduced without binding targets. Jennifer Morgan of the World Wildlife Fund says this could spur a competition for the support of client countries.
Then we will indeed be working with other countries, urging them to stay the course with the type of commitments that are in the Kyoto Protocol.
Others say the key to getting a deal will be greater creativity. Eileen Clausen of the Pew Center for the Environment.
If preserving a forest prevents carbon from being emitted into the atmosphere, I don't see why it should not be something that's credited.
The conference is set to run for the next 2 weeks. I'm Steve McNally for Marketplace.
Pick a channel, any channel. The Federal Communications Commission is making an about-face on the issue of a la carte cable pricing. Commission Chairman Kevin Martin is expected to announce today that the FCC is endorsing a plan to allow consumers to purchase individual cable channels rather than bundled packages. This is the opposite of a previous FCC report that suggested consumers would pay more for individual pricing. The commission cannot force cable providers to offer the service, and cable companies are likely to resist such a move. President Bush is touring the Southwest this week, talking about his policy on illegal immigration. On Monday, he stopped in Tucson, and today it's on to El Paso. His message? It's the economy, stupid. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
President Bush is stressing the need to tighten U.S. borders. Monday, he focused on the economic impact of illegal immigration.
Illegal immigration puts pressure on our schools and hospitals. I understand that. I understand it strains the resources needed for law enforcement and emergency services.
John Keeley with the Center for Immigration Policy says the speech marks a real change for the president. He says Bush had been fairly relaxed about illegal immigration or mainly focused on the security threat. Now it seems local economies are front and center.
Thematically, it was striking from this president who has said things along the lines of, well, compassion doesn't stop at the Rio Grande.
Later today, Bush is expected to outline his controversial guest worker program. Keeley says it could be a tough sell. It's complicated and expensive. And Congress just passed a $32 billion Homeland Security bill last month. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And on Wall Street, the Dow closed down 40 points on Monday to 10,890. The Nasdaq closed down 24 to 2239. And the S&P was down 11 to 1257. This is Marketplace. Most charities receive the bulk of their donations during this time of year. Marketplace's Nancy Fargali looks at whether a year of disasters might have an impact on giving.
Charities know that Americans have already been asked to give a lot this year. But Stacey Palmer, editor of the Chronicle of Philanthropy, says charities have to combat donor fatigue.
They're going to do everything they can to get their message out about why their cause is worthy and try to make sure that people remember there are plenty of people who were suffering even before these tragedies.
But those tragedies have also given a bounce to local charities. San Francisco's Salvation Army collected $4 million for Hurricane Katrina alone. But Joe Basilico says his organization isn't standing pat.
We also recognize that there are needs locally within our community. So we're putting a lot more emphasis on that kind of thing.
Basilico adds that the San Francisco chapter is already ahead of last year's donations. I'm Nancy Fergali for Marketplace.
And this is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fannie Mae, working with our partners to increase homeownership and affordable rental housing opportunities for more Americans. Fannie Mae, fanniemae.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with national patient associations to educate and support patients and their families. The Medtronic Foundation on the web at medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candetta Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation. furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. The United States isn't the only country where the real estate boom has altered the economic landscape. Commentator and Irish native Jean Rosnick says the Emerald Isle is undergoing a boom of its own.
I phoned my friend in Ireland the other day to inquire if she's a multimillionaire yet. Margaret and her husband Sean are in the process of selling one boggy field from their family farm. At a minimum, the land is expected to fetch about 3 million euro. If zoned for high-density housing, it could be worth in the region of 7 or 8. And I thought I was the smart one marrying a dentist. Forget the Ireland of Finnegan's Wake and Angela's Ashes. Nowadays, thanks to economic good times, Ireland has entered the era of Finnegan's Wealth and Angela's Stashes. The country is full of young men and women scurrying around, talking on their mobiles, making offers on real estate that would make you shake your head in wonder. Until this unexpected turn of events, prosperity wasn't something any Irish person expected from the old sod. The lucky ones of my generation got jobs with the civil service or teaching positions and settled down for the long haul in three-bedroomed, semi-detached houses. Those who couldn't find work, or anyone hankering after more in the way of worldly goods, had to sail for the shores of Amerikay. But a few years ago, I started seeing signs of change when I went back to the homeland. Supermarket shelves were filled with all kinds of gourmet items. No one served instant coffee anymore, and my brother used his mobile to make phone calls from his tractor. My cousin Jack, also a farmer, kept me posted on the performance of his stock portfolio. I have to say, I'm of two minds about this new high-speed Ireland. On the one hand, I'm delighted my nieces and nephews won't have to sit in faux Irish pubs in New York or Boston, singing maudlin songs about the homeland they were forced to leave. While on the other hand, I hope Ireland doesn't become too new and improved. Phones that work and trains that run on time are fine and well, but some things are best left alone. I've always been fond of the sheep that fleck the Irish countryside, and I hope they raise a collective baa against cloning or any other attempt to improve their market appeal. Admittedly, they're a little slow and woolly-headed, but when I see a wayward flock bring traffic to a standstill, I know I'm home.
Irish native Jean Rosnick is a freelance writer who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. By the way, we're podcasting now. You can find us in the iTunes directory or at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
What does a 7-foot-tall...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.